¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, a very good Saturday morning to one and all. Charlie, how are you, my friend?
You know, I was doing good until you brought up the World Series and...
Oh, is that over? Who won that?
Talking about a great victory or whatever. But congratulations. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, now it's golfing season for all of Major League Baseball, right? Maybe you can help some of those baseball players this offseason, Charlie. There's a couple of good ones out there, a couple of other athletes that are good golfers as well. Maybe you can help some of the baseball players this offseason.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have some fun with them.
Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, is a good golfer, isn't he?
He's a very good golfer. Really good golfer. So now he can get his attention on the Houston Open for 2019, which he's bringing back, which is very exciting for all the golf fans in Houston.
Hey, Charlie, and you're lucky because we're in Houston where you can play all year round, golf pretty much all year round.
Yes.
Maybe a couple days of the year you can't play, rain, whatnot. But
right.
What do you do now? What do you advise those people in the Northeast to do when it starts to get really cold?
Move to Houston.
No, my brothers were at an indoor facility yesterday.
Yeah, they've got good indoor facilities, and, you know, it's kind of like bowling. But then they'll make some trips down to Florida and then the Bahamas and Casa de Campo. And you know, I think all sports should be seasonal. You should have a break away. And this is a good break for everybody up north. They go skiing. They go ice fishing, which that's – I don't understand that.
Ice fishing, me neither. Just sit out there cold and dig a hole? Or I don't know what the terminology is that you get that hole in the ice. Who wants to do that?
They'll do anything. It's an excuse for drinking.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably what you want to do. Want to go out there, drink, and eat. But, man, I couldn't imagine doing that. Plus, how do you entertain yourself? Like, at least when you're fishing, you're moving around a little bit. You're in a boat. When you're not moving around, you're just sitting on ice. I mean, geez. I couldn't think of anything that's less fun.
Well, what we're going to have fun is Bill Harmon is back with us.
Yeah, and you guys are reunited for the first time in like 5 weeks, four weeks, because you had missed the show previously. You were doing a great golfing trip yourself. Bill's been traveling all over the world, so hopefully he's back in the time zone he belongs in terms of his internal clock.
That's exactly
so right. Bill Harmon will join us next. Big win for Xander Schauffele last week, and we also got the Shriners Open going on right now. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to GiftingMap.com. The team at GiftingMap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit GiftingMap.com today. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie, well, guess who's back this week?
The man.
Bill Harmon. Bill, how are you?
Hello, guys. What's going on?
You know, Bill, we've missed you. Sounds like you and Robin had just a great vacation.
We did. We spent a couple of days in Amsterdam and then did a river cruise on the Rhine River and ended up in Lake Lucerne, Switzerland, which is one of the world's prettiest places. So had a great, great trip, met a lot of nice people, saw a lot of cool stuff, but always happy to be home.
Were you with a group of your members, or is it just you two?
No, this was just, we were celebrating our 30th anniversary. We didn't know anybody. There were about 180 people on the ship, and made a lot of good friends, and did a lot of fun stuff, saw a lot of interesting things. I don't know why I didn't realize what a beautiful country Germany was, so that was cool. And we had a stop in France, and that was great. And then we ended up in Switzerland, so it was really a terrific trip. And we had a lot of fun, ate a lot of food, and met a lot of nice people.
But
so
celebrating,
it was a great thing.
30 great years of marriage to Robin. What a great wife you picked out there, huh?
Well, I would say I got very lucky. I would love to say that I picked her out, but it just happened that way. So we're very fortunate that I'm fortunate to have her, and she has a way of figuring me out, which is kind of a hard thing to do.
Well, happy anniversary, Bill. We're happy to have you back.
Thanks. Well, so, I'm happy to be back.
Your buddy won. The guy with the
Duffel.
X at the front of his name, and
he's good, boy. I tell you, Charlie, I think I've mentioned it on the phone, on the show, excuse me, that the first time I ever really saw him was at the U.S. Open at Aaron Hills a couple of years ago, and he was in contention, you know, a relative unknown. And I just liked the way he handled himself. He just looked like he felt that he belonged. I remember looking at this guy going, check this guy out. He actually thinks he's a prime-time player.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that he was, and he's won some big events. I still think he was one of the guys that got kind of not talked about at the British Open because of Molinari's finish, but he played great. Again, in prime time, he handled it, and as we all know, he won the Tour Championship 2 years ago at East Lake, which is a prime time event, and so he's slowly becoming really a real force in the game, and one of those guys that it looks like when he has a chance to win, he seems to relish that moment, and it appears those things slow down for him, where most people it speeds up.
Yeah, he was unbelievable last week. Xander was winning the HSBC. He hit that clutch 18-foot birdie on the 17th, forced the playoff with Tony Finau, who entered the day with a three-stroke lead. He had the best final round score, shooting a 63. Just how impressive was that, Charlie, to see Xander come back like that, especially considering it was somebody that's a really good player at the top in Tony Finau, and down the stretch, you got to hit an 18-foot birdie putt just to get to the 18th and then force the playoff.
Very impressive. I wish it had been on a Ryder Cup, but no. He has demonstrated, like Bill says, that he belongs. It's going to be interesting to read more about his background, what he did, his coach, his teachers, his father. Another guy comes on the scene. And then this last week, we got another champ on the horizon that just hits it 82 miles, Bill. How about this kid?
Oddly enough, the first time I ever saw him was also at Aaron Hills. He was hitting balls, I believe he was an amateur, and he was hitting balls next to Bill Haas on the range, and I didn't know who he was. Sean Foley was working with him, and all of a sudden he got to a middle iron, and I heard a sound that sounded different to me. And Charlie, you've been on the range a lot, and certain players' ball sounds different. Cabrera's ball sounds different with an iron, kind of compresses it. And this kid just made a different sound, and I kind of ended up looking over at him, and then I kind of circled behind to see what the guy's name was, and it was Cameron Champ. And he was very, very impressive. And to one of your points that you've made on various occasions, although he's very fit, Charlie, he's not muscle-bound.
He's not.
And,
exactly right.
You know, he looks like a cat. He's very sinewy, very oily. You know, I think yesterday he hit a 9-iron over 200 yards on one hole. And it brings me back to what Bobby Jones said about Nicklaus when he broke the record at the Masters at the time, that he plays a game that I'm unfamiliar with. And so he can hit a 9-iron basically 70 yards further than I can hit a 9-iron.
70. Yes,
that's pretty good, huh?
That's quite an advantage. And we'll see how he handles stardom and But it looks
That'll be, you know, because now, you know, we live in an age where whoever wins the tournament before, we're singing his praises and all of this stuff, you know. Last year it was Patton Kizzard won a couple tournaments early, and then he didn't play well the rest of the season. But Cameron's playing well again this week, and, you know, with that length, he handles himself, looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders. You know, you'd have to think that he's going to have some staying power.
Yeah, but, you know, on Monday morning when you open your checkbook and all of a sudden it's got seven figures in it, you man, I got to go spend this stuff. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he progresses, see how if he's going to do something early on at the Masters. I mean, with his incredible length, Augusta's going to get tired of trying to change that golf course with these guys coming along.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Somewhere along the line, the powers to be dropped the ball on the equipment. And there's no going back now, and pretty much every golf course is going to be obsolete, and about the only way you can stop them is to narrow the fairways and grow heavy rough and hope you can get the greens hard and fast. But other than that, I don't know how you defend the unless you build a course like Harbortown that is just so incredibly tight that it takes the driver out of their hands. But in many regards, you want to see people hit driver. But, you know, we saw at the Ryder Cup, if they narrow those fairways and make the rough more difficult, it's a heck of a lot harder to drive the ball and freewheel it. So I don't know what the state of the game is at the professional level now. I think it's gone too far, but it is what it is. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the talent, enjoy the work that all the young teachers are doing. We've got a lot of great instruction now and great players, and I think the game, it's very exciting. We got so many good young players, and it's going to be very hard for someone to dominate. So I think this should be a terrific, terrific year in golf.
Yeah, and to your point, Bill, about this being a stage of the game where there's a lot of good players, Cameron Champ's only 23 years old. We look at some of the other players. You have Spieth and Justin Thomas, who are 25, around that age. Xander, who we just talked about, is 25. Brooks Koepka is not 30 years old yet. So you do have a lot of young players on the tour. Is this the deepest you can remember the field in general being, Charlie? Not to say you don't have the clear-cut player at the top who is, without question, the best player in the world like we did with Tiger, but is this the deepest it's been?
I would have to say yes, because of the Tiger effect, the kids. The golf colleges, the golf in college has really, really improved. The coaches are better. There's more kids going out for the high school golf teams. The professional ranks has grown. Although the regular golf has kind of stayed static, I think the youth, you know, momentum with all the Tiger effect is growing the game. And yeah, there's more younger kids, and the average age of winning on the PGA Tour is well under 30 now. We can look at the LPGA. That's a young squad of young ladies coming out to play. So yeah, the game's getting younger on the professional level.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because the state of the game really hasn't improved, I don't think, on the amateur level. But it certainly has on the expert level. It's gotten a heck of a lot better. But I don't know how much, let's say, the recreational player is improving. But the professional game, the high-end junior golf, and the college game is really through the roof good these days. And Butch brought up a point on TV the other day that, you know, nowadays a lot of kids aren't going into football and basketball and baseball. They're getting right into golf. But their training is as young people, and they're physically fit and all of those things. So you're just looking at we're looking at a totally different athlete than used to play the game. I remember John Brody 30 years ago told me the old 49er quarterback, he went up to the Coliseum to see the Rams and the 49ers, and he walked in the Rams locker room to see John Robinson, the coach. And a guy walked out. He said he'd never seen a guy so thin. And he thought he was a defensive end. And he said to Robinson, "Who's that?" He goes, "Eric Dickerson, the running back." And Brody said, "Man, I'm glad I got out when I did." He said, "Because when I played, that guy would have been a defensive lineman." So it's hard to say that things haven't changed dramatically. And, you know, everything gets better. So who's to say that the number of golfers are definitely getting better. What we don't know is how many great players there are in this group. We know there's a lot of really good players.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And at the Shriners Open, we mentioned Cameron Champ. He's 8 under par. The leader is Peter Uihlein. He's at 13 under. Bryson DeChambeau, 10 under par. And Bryson this week, some interesting comments about some new rules or some old rules that are coming back. We'll get to that next. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio nationally and in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, some interesting news, or I should say not interesting news, but some interesting comments this week from Bryson DeChambeau. So we all know that as part of the new rules overhaul by the USGA and the RNA, the rule has been changed starting on January 1st. The players can leave the flagstick in when putting from anywhere on the green. Charlie, as you mentioned before the show, this is an old rule coming back. Bryson said that he is going to leave the flagstick in except at the U.S. Open. He said, "In every other tour event, when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce against the flagstick if I need to." How do you think this affects the game? What do you make of Bryson's comments?
You know, he's an interesting kid, and he has his opinions, and he's a scientist and so on and so forth. As soon as one of his great putts hits that pin and bounces out, he'll change his mind at the wrong time. I can just see him putting with the pin in at Augusta, and that ball hit up against that pin and jumps out and costs him about $25 million, Bill. I just can't see it helping.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that he said that because I'm going to assume, knowing his personality, or not knowing his personality, but reading about him, that he has done research on this. He made a comment I thought was interesting, that it makes the hole bigger. I know for me, I always felt it made it look like it was smaller because half the hole was filled with that pin, it seemed like. But I also think it was interesting that he had talked about the material of the pins that are used in the USGA event. So that led me to believe that he's done his research. He probably thinks that he, and maybe he did, make a factual statement that you can make more putts with the pin in, given the type of material used for each pin. But I don't know. Is he going to do this from 3 feet, from 4 feet, for 6 feet? You know, when does he take it out? When does he keep it in? It'll be interesting to watch. And quite frankly, he's interesting to watch. And so he's someone that, you know, you find yourself watching and observing and interested in what he's going to do next, not only golf-wise, but he seems to be a little bit of an emotional live wire out on the course. So he brings a little bit of flair and personality to the game. But I know from my perspective, I don't like having the pin in, but it's a personal choice, and he gets to make that choice. But it seems to me, Charlie, over the years, I've seen it keep more good chip shots out than go in. But I only thought it really helped if the ball was going too hard. But I got to believe that he's done some research on this, and at some point he'll come up with some numbers for us. But I'll be interested to see if he leaves it in on one-foot putts and things like that.
It will be, you know, the USGA comes again, you know. But this was in the 50s, Bill. We were doing this in Argentina.
Oh, yeah, no, that used to, like Brian alluded to that this isn't a new rule. This is a rule that it used to be this way.
Well, and what's interesting,
we used to play golf.
What's interesting to me is if this means that Bryson's going to play faster, I'm all for that because the guy could not play any slower right now. And, Bill, to the quotes you were pointing out, he said he was asked if it's going to help him. He said, oh, absolutely. The USGA is going to have to go back on that one. Like, no, we made the hole bigger. Now, to his scientific approach, which we all know he's all about that, this is what he said. I don't even know what half this stuff means. He said, it depends on the COR, the coefficient of restitution of the flagstep. In the U.S. Yep. Open, I'll take it out, and every other tour event when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in. So clearly, to your point, Bill, he's done a lot of research with all this type of stuff, and you wonder if Bryson starts to play. Well, as you said personally, you like it out. Charlie, you like it out as well, correct? So I wonder if he does start to play well with the flag stick in, if more guys do start to follow his lead, because we see this in every professional sport. It's their copycat leagues, right? I mean, people want to be like the Patriots. People want to be like the San Antonio Spurs. I'm not saying they're going to be that good. I'm not going to say he's going to be that good, but I'm saying, Charlie, if it works, maybe we see more players kind of...
You know, I think it may. I don't know this. I can't prove it. It may help people's depth perception, Charlie. It might help them with distance. Is that possible? Can you see that as being an added help that you have a 15-foot putt and the flag gives you a different visual perspective on distance and depth perception? I don't know if that will make a difference or not, but maybe it will for some people.
Yeah, I mean, it could, you know, the plumb bob that people use for many, many years, you could line it up better with the pin being in the hole and you might see something differently. I'll try that. I'll see if that makes any difference. But I'm still just afraid that, you know, I've never, you know, the ball hits the pin, jumps out more times than it jumps in.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we at our clubs or wherever we made it a week where you had to keep the pin in, so you could never take the flag out for a week just for normal play. And to see if that would speed up play or not. So if somebody puts it up a foot, they got to tap in with the flag in. They never, ever take the flag out of the hole for 18 holes in a foursome. That would be interesting, huh?
Yeah, all sorts of different scenarios that you could experiment with. So we'll see.
That might really grow the game, Charlie.
Yeah, it really might, Bill. I mean...
Remember when my late brother Dick was alive, Brian, he said if he ever had a new kid, he'd name him Junior Golf because he'd be an instant millionaire. Because guys like Charlie and Dick were always asked to do something for Junior Golf.
Junior Golf.
Dick said, boy, if I have another kid, I'm going to name him Junior Golf. Everything will be free for him the rest of his life.
Do you guys like Bryson's approach, though? I'm not just talking about this in general, but he's so, like, scientific. We know about the club lengths all being the same and that type of stuff. Now he's talking about the flag stick. Do you like how Bryson approaches the game? Where
in the history of the game, there's always been characters like Bryson show up. I mean, you know, the Titanic Thompson. You know, all these guys come up with these, you know, different ways to approach the game, and it's right. Just part of life, and that's what... So fun about it that, you know, Mo Norman, Bill, he was one of the great characters in the world.
Sure.
Great personality and looked at it, you know, at a different way. So, yeah, Bryson is showing us all.
In Bryson's case, he's also very successful, so it's working.
Yeah.
You know, he won the NCAA and the U.S. Amateur in the same year. Boy, that is a heck of a feat. And now he's come out as a young man. He's won multiple tournaments. He contends a lot now, so you have to stand up and observe it because it's working. If he was doing all this stuff and missing every cut, it wouldn't make any difference. But he's taken his way of doing things, and he's become highly successful at it at a very young age. And that's how his mind works, and that's what gives him confidence, gives him comfort. And so there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, there's a lot of ways to play this game. Charlie will tell you that guys like Watson and Trevino were prolific practicers. Jack Nicklaus, not so much. So everyone has to find their own comfort level. And I believe knowledge to Bryson is comfort to Bryson. And we really wouldn't be talking about him if he didn't have his card and he wasn't a PGA Tour winner. So he's making people stand up and observe and notice. And I think it's kind of refreshing. It's not my style, but I find myself wondering how Bryson is doing. You know, and I can't really say that when I pick up the paper in the morning, I'm looking to see how Jason Duffner's doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I find funny, too, is what Bill mentioned earlier, that he's a live wire, very emotional guy. This is the mad scientist on the PGA Tour, but he's also a guy with a ton of emotions, which kind of seems like it's conflicting ideologies. All right, a lot more coming up, including who has a better 2019. Will it be Bryson, the mad scientist? Or Xander, who's bursting onto the scene right now. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie, and this morning, like we are each and every Saturday, this program is made possible by Insperity.
A company that will inspire business performance, small business performance, and in this age, business is great. You want to grow your business. You want to go to the next level. Insperity is a company that will really help you do that. And they're very customer friendly. They want to help you, and they can do all the things that frees you up to run your business. No matter what business it is, they can help you. Your payroll, your health insurance, they can just advise you. They've been doing it for so many years and so successful since 1986. But Insperity, log on to Insperity.com, read its mission statement, and I guarantee you, you're going to want to be a partner with them.
No doubt about that. Get a friend that works for Insperity. Very happy there. All right, so we alluded to the Shriners Hospital earlier in the show. Peter Uihlein, the lead, 13 under par. We mentioned Cameron Champ, who won last week. He's 8 under par. You know who else is 8 under par? Jordan Spieth. So Jordan Spieth playing well this week.
Jordan Spieth has reshuffled his schedule. He's going to play this week and next week in Mexico, which helps the tour, which helps him. The more he can play, I think he's got a great attitude, Bill. I think he's looked over last year and said, okay, here's my mistakes, here's where I'm going to improve, and he's got a bright future. I think he'll show us that he can come back after a poor season.
Well, as you know, I'm a big fan of his, and I very rarely worry about him. And he's a winner. He's an achiever. He's damn good. And he'll be playing, I think. He'll be paired with Cameron Champ today, which is interesting. And so that should be a pairing to look out for. You know, and Peter Uihlein is a great story. His father, Wally, was the CEO of Titleist for so many decades. He kind of came up with Koepka. They played the European Tour together, and Koepka took off. And Peter, who's had a nice career in Europe, is just getting his feet on the ground over here in America, is now starting to find his own way. And he's a wonderful player, and he's maybe not progressed as quickly as some thought he would, but not everybody does that. So maybe the route that Peter has taken and the disappointments he's had along the way have fortified him a little bit and made him tougher and stronger. And I really look forward to seeing how he plays this weekend. I have a funny feeling he's going to get his first tournament win this weekend, and he'll start showing the promise that he's always had. But I'm sure it's difficult, Charlie, for a guy like Peter. I believe that he and Brooks maybe even lived together for a while early on in Florida. And, you know, Peter was probably a better player than Brooks there for a while. And it must be interesting when your best friend goes on to win three majors and you didn't even have your tour card at that point. So I'm kind of rooting for Peter, and I'm looking very forward to see Cameron Champ and Spieth play today.
You know, we've had that happen here in Houston. We had a young man that had all the promise, won the U.S. Juniors. Corey Whitsitt, He was in Alabama with Justin Thomas, and he has it blossom, and so that's hard on the kids. And they've got, you know, I really hope that Corey comes back and he's motivated and he sees what Uline's going through and to get him, you know, to where he, you know, could have been.
Yeah, and Uline, he shot a 63 on Thursday.
63, yeah, only because he's really good, and I hope he wins. He's the new breed, you might say. He played over in Europe, and now he's, you know, going to have a good career here. Plus, he's never had to worry about where he's going to get his golf balls from.
Yeah, that's true.
That's for sure.
What if he went to a different company? That wouldn't be a good look, huh? How funny would that be? I'm not going to do this whole titleist thing. I'm going to go with somebody else. But
that's funny.
Bryson DeChambeau, too, he's playing well. He's a 10 under par. We talked about him earlier, so he's right there as well. But for Jordan, you guys both think that he bounces back this year by what you were saying. How about with Bryson? Bryson, if you had to pick one of these guys that's going to have a better season in 2019, Bryson, hey, won back-to-back events last year, was on the Ryder Cup. Xander Schauffele was left off the Ryder Cup team. He just won last week, the great comeback. If you had to pick one of those players to play better in 2019, who would you go with?
Bill, I'll let you answer that first.
I'm going with Xander because, you know, he's already got a win this year.
Yep.
I believe this is Bryson's first term of the season. I just looked at the FedEx Cup points, and he doesn't have any. And Xander's number one. So Xander has a heck of a head start on him at the moment. So if Xander happens to, you know, get another win here, let's say on the West Coast, he would have probably a considerable lead over Bryson. So he's off to a much quicker start because Bryson hadn't even started yet. I believe this is his first tournament. So I have to go with Xander because I think he's just as good. And I really think he's starting to find his own and realize how good he is.
I'm going to go with Champ.
Oh, you're going with the third option. You got Cameron Champ having a better year than both of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
well, that'll be good to follow. Let's kind of follow those three players this year on this show. As Charlie jumped out with Cameron Champion there, got off script, Brian.
All right, Bill. So you can go to Cameron Champ, or you can stick with Xander, who has the best 2019 out of that group. You going with Xander?
Oh, I'm going with Xander all the way.
All right, so I'm noting this stuff down. I got a poll. Charlie basically brings his own guy into the conversation, into the answer. I like it, Charlie. I like it. That's a bold pick. 23. You look at Xander, polished, won a couple events 2 years ago, won an event this year.
Three numbers that impress me.
What's that?
350, 350 driving distance.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're not kidding.
You know, 180-yard or 200-yard 9-iron. I mean, those numbers are scary, Bill.
Yeah, it's a joke. Absolute joke.
I mean, he went to school at Texas A&M. He went through the college ranks. Then he went out on the web.com tour. So he's primed.
Gig him.
And he won in a good fashion in that he lost the lead, and then he came back and won. And that, to me, shows a lot. There's a lot of guys, to get their first win, they kind of got to come from behind. But he was at a three-shot lead, lost it 9 holes, and came back and won. So he proved a lot to me there.
Yeah, certainly. And to the point about Xander as well, you think about him, he was the first rookie to win the Tour Championship. And then last week he wins. After not getting selected for the Ryder Cup, he steps up his game and he wins a tournament. And, Bill, we talk about guys sometimes that have trouble finishing tournaments, like a Ricky Fowler, for example. And it seems like Jordan Spieth, when he was really rolling, he found a way to win all these tournaments. Maybe Xander just has that gene where it comes down to the third and the fourth rounds of tournaments. Maybe he's just in a position where he feels really comfortable.
Yeah, no, there's guys that can play.
Well, you know, they were talking on TV the first day, you know, when Butch was there, that Ricky's only won 4 tournaments in about 10 years on tour. And you've got guys like Xander and Bryson, who have already, you know, just about won as many in a couple of years. So there's something to be said about the insides of a player, the things that we can't quantify the things that don't show up on TrackMan and other measuring devices. So the insides are still probably what eventually will determine what kind of career people have.
Yeah, and it's really incredible, too. If you look at that, Charlie, what is it? You've mentioned this multiple times. It's the high school class of 2012.
2010
with Xander, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. That's pretty incredible to think about all those guys at the same age.
That's right. And that was, you know, the years of college coaching improving, college programs improving. So, you know, the momentum keeps going and keeps building. So they have a lot of experience. You know, Thomas and Spieth played in the Junior Ryder Cup together. And then they played in the, you know, the big time Ryder Cup. So, yeah, it's professional golf's growing because of college.
Yeah, and back to Spieth real quickly. Do you think he'll be back to being a top five player this year, or do you think he'll be outside of that?
I think he'll win a major this year.
Ooh, which one, Charlie? Masters?
No, I want him to win the PGA to complete the Grand Slam.
What do you think of that, Bill?
It'd be great. Where is the PGA this year, Charlie?
It's in New York.
Yeah, it's in New York.
Bethpage.
Oh, Bethpage. That's right. That's right.
So
that's correct. What a golf course that is.
Golf course, and also May in New York can be pretty rough, can it? You grew up there.
It should be long and playing long and thick and wet. It should be a brutally long golf course, and it's already a long course, but. But the PGA tends to set courses up almost like a regular tour event. They don't grow any rougher. They take these great courses and make them easier for the players.
Yeah.
Which kind of bothers the course, I might add.
It's funny to me that it's funny to me, Bill, the first year they make this change for the PGA Championship, that it's in the Northeast, that it's in New York when they're pushing up the PGA to May. I find that kind of weird that this is the year they decide to do it with it being in New York.
Well, I think they're going to find out that at one of these days they're going to do one of these PGAs in the Northeast that's going to snow. I've seen it snow in Rochester, New York. No, I've seen it snow in Rochester in June.
Yeah.
And June. So I think one of these days it's going to happen. That was the only thing I didn't like about the move, is I thought it kind of narrowed the choices of courses they can have the PGA on, because I really believe if they keep going to the Northeast, which they should, because I believe they have the best courses back there, one of these years the weather is really, really going to be awful. But I do like the setup of starting, basically a major event every month, starting in March and May and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because then it's like after the Masters, you get that gap before the U.S. Open. I don't really like that. So it is cool from that perspective. But, yeah, it is going to be weird, as you point out, Bill, if it does snow at one of these PGA Championships in the near future. All right. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. When we come back, Tony Finau, how bad of a loss was that for him last week? You're listening to us on SB Nation Radio nationally and in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, so we were talking earlier about the big win for Xander last week, where he shoots a 63 in the final round to win, clutch 18-foot birdie on the 17th. The guy on the losing side of that was Tony Finau. Finau, of course, was a member of the Ryder Cup team. He was the captain's pick. Xander was not. So I have to imagine it made it a little bit sweeter for Xander that he beat Tony Finau after Finau was picked for him for the Ryder Cup. It's got to feel good for Xander.
Well, sure. But, you know, Finau reminds me of Ricky Fowler. You know, that loss, it just doesn't seem to bother him. It just kind of rolls off his back. Okay, I didn't win. I'll just cash my $800,000 check and move on. You know, this kid has come from a different background. But I think he'll eventually turn into, his swing is good. His putting's pretty good, Bill. I think he can win some more. But it just looks like it doesn't bother him not winning. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I don't think he lost that tournament. I think Xander won it. You know, I think there's a big difference. Even though he had the lead early on, he lost the lead very early. You know, and it took some really, really good stuff from Xander to tie him and get into the playoffs. So I think sometimes you just get beat. And when you get beat, it doesn't probably bother you as much as if you bogey the last two holes to lose by a shot. So the one thing I've noticed about Tony here, though, he's contending almost every tournament he plays in now, Charlie. And so his abilities are a cut above most of the other players. So I don't really think it's going to be very long before he starts winning a bunch of tournaments. His nerves appear to be pretty good. I think one of the things that I like about his swing with his great length is the length of his swing translates into him being able to hit short irons pretty good because he's got kind of a shorter controlled swing. So I see the arrow pointing up for Finau. I don't have any problem with him not winning that tournament. I'd rather tip my hat to Xander on that than say that Tony did something wrong. I think Xander went out and just won that golf tournament. That happens where you play pretty good and you just get beat. That's okay.
Here's the pairing for the Masters: Finau and Champ. And watch him just hit pitching wedges into everything and see what the...
Every par five, driving wedge.
What the Masters does. But, yeah, you're right. He did not lose that championship, but he did not win. So, and he needs some wins. So, but what are you going to do for Christmas? Change the subject here.
I'm trying to get to Thanksgiving.
Huh? Think about Christmas. Think about the holiday season's coming. Bill, what are you going to do? You know, I want to. We're going to have a special guest next week, Tom Cox from golfballs.com, and he's going to tell us, you know, how many millions of golf balls he sells a year. Interesting story.
Yeah, can't wait for that, Charlie. Next week we'll do that.
Hey, then I'll know what I'm going to do for Christmas, Charlie.
Hey, Bill, have a great weekend. It was great having you back.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Bill, thank
Love
you.
Back.
We appreciate you
I
giving us
you. Bye.
Your presence.
All right, Charlie, well, have fun. I'm sure you get out to the course today.
And congratulations on Boston.
Thank you, Charlie. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.